and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, Chris, go ahead and bust me.
You just walked in the door like 30 seconds ago.
Right, okay. Right. Remember the first time that New York chewed me up and spit me out like a bad organ? Has rejected me like a bad kidney?
Has it already done that to you?
Yes. Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
Oh, God.
Mama's here, everybody.
Hooray!
Okay.
If you watch it on the Ustream, you're going to see that we all got our face up in the blueberry pie.
Yeah, you missed a listener sent us a blueberry pie.
Awesome. Don't lean too far forward. As Kathleen Madigan says, Al Sharpton's her dad's favorite show. It's the only one he can hear.
Yes.
So. What? I have a microphone on my lapel. Why didn't somebody tell me?
Why didn't everybody have a microphone all up my lapel?
Y'all are fired.
Now I got blueberry pie all over the microphone.
So how's New York?
All right. New York is New York. There was police activity around the hotel.
Of course.
Could not get a cab. We've been running about 20 blocks. We sat in traffic for a while. And, Jim, you know that noise you make, that disgusting noise you make when Melissa Fitzgerald comes live in studio? Right. Well, I've just been running 20 blocks with her in New York, and she's wearing that that sexy flower dress, Jim, that she wore that one time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
and now it's probably all sweaty and sheer.
Damn.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Right.
So she'll have to take it up.
Hungry, always happy. She's filled with squeeziness. Young and looking sexy. Hungry, always steppy. Hungry, always steppy.
Okay, Jim, just try to imagine how many men there are per square inch in New York that had something to say about Melissa Fitzgerald running.
I bet.
Like in slow motion Baywatch scene through the week. By the way, no one's paying attention to me.
That is not true. That is not true. I think they were actually all paying attention to you.
Oh, no.
I thought you had blueberry pie in the face. You just got black eyes from running.
We had a guy just across the street right here on 42nd, right? He goes, don't fall. If you fall, I got you. Don't worry, I'll catch you both. God, I love New York. It is kind of good for your self-esteem, no matter what you look like.
That's
so
true.
A guy on the street in New York will say something. Right?
That's very true.
Oh, my God. All right, Jim, let me just set the scene. She is wearing a very tight flower dress and is it's a little bit of a wet T-shirt thing happening now.
Damn.
That disgusting New York humidity. We've been running.
Wow.
That's Jim, hot. Pay attention. All right.
Oh, Lord.
There's only...
You distracted me from a blueberry pie.
That is my favorite, like, promo ad of all time, besides the wax vac. That is...
Ow! Ow! What? They're blueberry pie!
They both speak at exactly the same timbre.
I think I like people yelling at me.
I would like to see a debate, Jim, between all of them and Hard of Hearing Darth Vader.
You got to get your face up to blueberry pie that you can't taste it because you got the ugly-ass mask on. What? Ow!
Thank you.
You're not supposed to shove the blueberry pie in your ear.
I miss you, Pod. This is like when I used to do the show from New York in this little tiny shoe closet.
Uh-huh.
Here I am.
Is it full of little tiny shoes?
No, it's just I forgot how small it is, though.
But give me my shoes back, bitch.
You might find Jeff Sessions in there.
Making
oh my God.
Pecan sandies.
I see pecan sandy crumbles. Senator Seth Sessions, what have you been doing? In fact, I can tell the two security guards downstairs recognize me because I was running, and I just said, on the air in 2 minutes. They're like, just go. Because they normally have to get ID and all that. I'm just, go. Just go. We're used to you. The guy that owns the show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is here.
Mm-hmm.
He has just sat down. He's in that creepy way.
Did he bring breakfast meat?
No. But he's just staring in that creepy way that he does.
He does, yes.
Right, like he's just in your peripheral vision, just in sort of a threatening kind of...
Just tell him to shoo and sign the checks.
You do that. There might be one less check.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. I love you, Mr. Hartenbaum.
Sir, look, my pen just ran out of ink.
That's what Ron said. Yeah, his pen just ran out of ink in time for your check. That's weird.
Aww.
Oh, well. And there's not a pen to be found in the whole building now. All right. So where are we at with, dear God, Ted, thank God Ted Cruz has stopped talking.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Keep the bug zapper handy, though, because it... Ow! day. It's the only way to deal with a Ted Cruz. Yeah. It wasn't even a filibuster.
No, it was a long speech filled with nothing.
It was an empty buster.
And then he kept talking. Then he talked to reporters after that. And then he went on Rush Limbaugh's show and said, and he said, "Oh, can we hold you over for another break?" And he's like, "I'm here as long as you want." I'm
like, "Oh,
really? Shut up."
I'm just amazed he's married. Like, who would marry that?
Oh, God. That just gave me a visual. Ted Cruz in bed. Oh, yeah. Thank it. Yeah.
Did you see he had another Tea Party senator out in the audience asking him questions? Like, tell us the history of Chinese gooseberries. And so he went on about Chinese gooseberries. They're not really from China, and they're from New Zealand.
And they're not made of geese.
Yeah. That was the weirdest thing.
Wow.
He's weird.
All we know is don't leap forward into the gooseberry pie is the moral of that whole story. I don't get... I'm stuck in the visual of him in bed because I can't. I'm just...
Well, I read something about him, too, when he was at college. He walked around a lot in a bathrobe or smoking
jacket. In a paisley
bathrobe,
lurking around in the girls' dorm.
Ew.
You have a pipe like that.
And he has those creepy long, like, E.T. fingers, right? It's just creepy.
Do they glow?
Ouch. That's what he said. That was the last thing he said.
I'll be right here.
Go away. Please don't stay here.
No, please don't stay here
Go back
anymore.
Home. Go home.
Yeah, but this is where we're at. So we're at them threatening to shut the United States government down to defund Obamacare. Chris, you have that soundbite. Mitch McConnell said, "Oh, it's long past time to just start over." No, it's not.
The reset button.
Yeah. Here we go.
It's the law of the land, and you lost the election, by the way.
Even John McCain said that. He said elections have consequences. We lost two elections on this issue. Here's Mitch McConnell.
This law is a mess.
It's a mess,
yep. It needs to go. It's way past time to start over.
Really?
Really? Okay, then win the election and start over, dude.
Yeah.
But you lost, so you don't get to do that now.
So you should go
back
to
the... You lost in court. You lost in the polls. You lost. Right.
Go back to the start. I guess we have to join Great Britain again. Start using pounds.
How far back do we need to go, Jim? What do you mean? From what start?
To the Magna Carta.
From the very beginning? So where are we at now, Chris? So we only have, Monday would be the government shutdown, right?
Right.
This is
looking more and more like a government shutdown. That's what a lot of pundits are saying now.
Because they were saying that they wanted to get this back to the House so the House can pull all their hijinks, like trying to put things in, like delaying Obamacare, right, or stuff like that. They're going to try to throw in stuff that, it's the most ridiculous that they make it seem like a compromise over the law of the land.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, all right, we'll let you have it, but it'll have to start a year later. It's like, what?
I mean, the list of things that they want is so ridiculous that it's almost a slap in the face. It's like, we don't really want to work with you.
And it's not governing. Ted Cruz didn't we say yesterday he had an idea like to defund the military?
So yeah,
good plan.
Know what I mean? But either you have to vote to fund the military and defund Obamacare. Right. Where do they even think of this stuff?
I have no idea. It is the law of the land. It was upheld by SCOTUS, and the president was reelected since it was voted on. So,
and who the hell is Ted Cruz to
exactly
make demands like that?
Yeah, they're like petulant children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are. But you know what? We voted for these people, and that's the biggest problem that I have. And
the people of Texas voted for Ted Cruz.
Right,
yeah.
but we really have to. I mean, I think this is the problem: is that when they start acting like this, it makes voters, it makes me even throw my hands up, and I'm somebody who's in there for the long haul. But it really makes me feel like, oh my God, I just can't. There's nothing I can do about this. These people are crazy. They're lunatics, and they're willing to shut down their government like children. And the repercussions of that on people's lives are deep and extreme.
Right, and you can't
rebuild
that.
And they're willing
to
do that?
Yeah.
It makes me want to just quit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, because that's the exact opposite of what we have to do. We have to vote these jerks out because they are jerks. We got to get rid of the Tea Party.
You know,
done.
We had Congressman Grayson on the other day, and Chris, he sounded hopeful to me about, because I said, I don't care about gerrymandering. Isn't there a way? Aren't the American people going to get disgusted enough at some point to go sequester, shut down, God forbid, debt ceiling? Crisis. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
But we have to wait until the next census in order to, undo the gerrymandering.
Because that's when you redraw the district lines, is when you take the census
Let's
every 10
years. Let's just take attendance now. I'll do it. Jim Ward?
Do I have to eat someone's liver with fava beans again?
Just say present. Elizabeth Fitzgerald?
Present.
All right. Just let's count ourselves and get on with it. On with the governing of the country. Yeah, I can't believe, because everybody said, even on Meet the Press last week, like, no, there's not going to be a shutdown. And when you get to how crazy are these people, you're right, Chris, they're that crazy.
Yep.
That's like, yeah, no, well, they probably will.
Meet the Press got something
immature.
Wrong.
Yeah. You were just with your nephews up in Philadelphia.
I would trust them running this show more than I trust these clowns, honestly.
Ted Cruz, way whinier.
Way whinier, and that's saying something, believe me. I wanted that ice cream, not the vanilla.
Stop it.
Ow. Why do I have to get up for school now?
Yeah, that is exactly the way Republicans are behaving. Well, when will we know? Where is it at now, Chris? It goes to the House. Monday is the...
Well, the Senate has to vote on it first, and then it goes to the House probably on Monday. You know, the Senate is trying to space it out so it goes to the House at the last minute so they have no choice but to vote for it. Mm. But who knows if the House is going to vote for it? And so that's why the pundits are saying that it's looking closer and closer to a government shutdown.
Yeah. Well, I should talk about, you know, thinking there would be a different outcome. Like, I thought, I only need 5 minutes to get a cab and get through Times Square and get to work. It's not like it starts at a specific time. And I did the same thing again. Uh-huh. So, you're no better than they are at this point. Fortunately, we have a hot Bree in the city. Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio with us this hour. John Fugelsang?
Yes.
Calling in for a...
He's going to be calling in at some point. We don't really know when. But he's on a movie set again.
Right, and who shouldn't be when they're that pretty? And he will be doing a telephonic Fridays with Fugelsang and Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, live in hour number 3.
Yay!
All right, yay! Hey, yeah, easy for you to say.
What?
You didn't get your foot run over by a cab 5 minutes ago. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Stephanie Miller Show on the road from New York City.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Why, thank you, Chris. Chris just said I'm hot.
Oh, come on, that's radio lingo.
Microphone.
That is radio lingo. You're not hot.
Oh, shush. So untrue, Chris. So
it
wrong.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City with activist of Hot Bree in the City, Melissa Fitzgerald, live in studio with us. We're all here for Mama's birthday weekend. The creepy guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, Chris and Jim, as you know. High-strung, sexy liberal tour director Roland, my nephew, we're all going out to dinner tonight, and then we're doing a lot of booze in Broadway.
Yes.
For my birthday weekend.
No dope?
No dope?
No. Well, maybe. Maybe. Depends on how much booze in Broadway I get through.
So which show did you decide to see?
Well, we're thinking Glass Menagerie and then maybe another one. Maybe Kinky Boots or Pippin.
Kinky Boots.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
really?
Yes, I've heard nothing but awesome things about it.
Well, thank you for offering to buy the tickets.
Boots Menagerie.
I appreciate that.
Well, I'm...
Send those right along. Thanks a lot. Oh, happy. You shouldn't have, Chris. Really? Uh-huh. Oh, front row orchestra?
It's
that is
only
so
$1 million.
But it's Cyndi Lauper music.
Right.
Oh.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know.
Oh.
All right.
I don't think I even knew that.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? Can I have some breaking news music? This is really, okay. I'm trying to still, you know, even though we're on the road and we're a little discombobulated, I'm trying to cover all the important news.
Yep.
Jim, this will be important to you. Mm. Just in case you decide to fly in for the Booze and Broadway weekend. The testicle-eating fish has been caught in New Jersey.
Oh, thank God.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah.
There was only one?
Guess we'll find out. We'll find out. A retired bus driver. See,
wax back doesn't
Excuse
help.
Me?
Ow!
A retired bus driver caught a 10-inch testicle-eating fish in northern New Jersey. Been 10 miles outside of New York City. There's video.
Oh,
I would
video?
Right. It's the pacu fish. You remember that. They're native to the Amazon. They have, not Amazon.com.
Yeah, sure. Thank God.
Sorry. You can get one there. Cause you can get
I bet now you can.
If you're Amazon Prime, you can get. have wide teeth and strong jaws. Oh, too much teeth. Too much teeth. That allow them to crack open tree nuts and other tough foods, but they have been known to mistake human testicles for the nuts.
So
who is swimming
in the Amazon?
I won't swim in the Amazon then.
Without
safety tip.
Yeah.
Thank you, Egon.
Right.
There are crocodiles there too as well.
Who is swimming in the Amazon dangling their
and
their rucksack?
Well, you don't have to try to dangle them. Don't they just dangle naturally? Like
not
delightful Christmas
wear,
balls?
Not if you wear, you know, Speedos.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I haven't seen that area in quite some time, but I, what I recall. Okay. You know, my dad got out of the shower once, whatever.
Oh.
No, I've seen them since then. Okay, the Pacu caught near New York City most likely was dumped by its owner after it became too big for a tank.
After
to an
he
expert.
Bit his nads off.
Or he
should have done that
alternatively
beforehand.
Bit the owner's balls off, and he's like, you know what? That's it. Everybody's got to have boundaries.
No more soup for you.
Yeah, too big for the tank. Sure, that's the story. I bet you he bit your balls off, didn't he? All right, Sue in Rockville wants to say happy birthday. By the way, I can tell Chris that I'm really old because Bob, our guy here in New York.
Yeah, Bob.
Our engineer guy, he just had to bring in a giant, like, Klieg light because Mama cannot read the things in front of me, the show prep things.
Oh, wow.
Well, you used to be able to back when you were living there.
No, now I need a giant light.
Oh, God.
And you were right about my iPhone because I automatically, you know, it automatically updated to the iOS, the new one.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're right, I'm completely befuddled and bewildered.
And scared.
Wait,
you're frightened.
So you didn't
scared.
Do it? You didn't approve it? It just automatically?
No, I did it. I just didn't understand what I was doing.
Steph. Always a mistake.
Oh, dear.
I'm too easy to please. I just clicked yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I never do.
Yes.
I know I'm going to be in trouble.
Yes, I will do it. And now you're right, Chris. Now I'm completely startled by
my
phone.
It frightens you now.
Does.
You need a princess rotary phone.
Yes, I do. I do. Mama needs to go back to the olden days.
Luckily, your birthday's coming.
Yeah. I know. We're going to a matinee tomorrow. I'm going to get some Werther's candies. Grandma's so excited. Okay.
So wadded up Kleenexes in your purse.
And shout, what did he say?
What? The story? I love the story about George Bush Sr. and Barbara. Got a private screening, right, of the butler.
Yeah.
And George kept yelling, is that Oprah? Honey, is that Oprah? Yes, George, shut up.
I was in a production of A Comedy of Errors in college, and right at the final scene, some woman in the third row says, oh, they're twins. Oh, thanks. Thanks for paying attention, Grandma.
Rosebud's the sled. Oh, God. Shut up.
Sue in Rockville is still with us.
Oh, good.
You went to her.
Oh, I had a theater story. Now that we're telling old theater stories, because we're here doing booze and Broadway.
Okay.
I was in. I played Holly in Uncommon Women and Others in college, and a bunch of my friends came, and of course we're drunk, and there's a scene where she's the characters. I'm holding a diaphragm. I know it was fictional. Just try to stay with me here. And they started yelling, put it in, put it in! And I was like,
Oh, nice.
There goes the fourth wall and comedy club. All right, never mind. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to be representative of the chat room. We all wish you a very happy birthday, but we have a question.
Thank you.
We would like to know how old you are. We're trying to wrap our minds around it. Like, I mean, were you really sad when all the dinosaurs died?
I hate each and every person individually and collectively in the chat room. Please tell them. I said
Sounds like Melissa's nephews are in the chat room.
I know. I was just going to say that. Maybe they are.
My nephew, who's going to dinner with us tonight, by the way,
came
in one time when I was talking to, I think, your six-year-old nephew.
Yes.
And I said, my nephew's 43. What do you think of that? And he just goes, how old are you? All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show from New York.
Stephanie Miller
has always been what we educators term a no-good Nick. But lately, her behavior has taken a more sinister turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Live from New York City with activist Melissa Fitzgerald, our good friend, Hot Bree in the city. And you can confirm, by the way, Chris, you know the soundbite sheet that you sent me?
Yes.
Is that the littlest writing ever, or have I just gotten even older?
I can't read it. I can't see it at all.
Okay.
And I've definitely gotten
older. Chris, you're playing birthday pranks on Mama, aren't you?
No,
that's like the teeniest writing I've ever done.
Did you print out the attachment, or did you print out the body of the email? You probably should have printed out the attachment.
I did. It's up. I printed the attachment. It's all right. Never mind.
Okay,
all
it's
right.
Normal.
It's
well,
small, Chris.
You know what? This is a perfect birthday show because I'll just be bitching.
Okay, good.
About how old I am. Pulling up my support hose. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Obamacare. Hey, Joe.
Yes, good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Let me be the first to wish you a happy 39th birthday.
Oh, thank God, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The reason I'm calling is I need your help.
All right.
I work for a Home Depot here, and we just found out the other day that they're no longer going to be offering health insurance to part-timers. And, of course, everybody's saying it's the fault of Obamacare, and I need your help to sort of disabuse them of that without getting fired for calling the CEO
They were previously giving health care for part-time?
Yes, at least in my state, in Illinois here.
Well, right, and this is what, you know, Ted Cruz was talking about on the, you know, it's like, oh, these poor, huge companies making these huge profits. You know, look what Obamacare is doing instead of shaming them.
And at the exact same time, these poor companies are unwilling to show the difference between executive pay, like the percentage difference between executive pay and the average worker's pay. There's some metrics thing that they do, and they're fighting it. And I'm just like, you know what? They're fighting it because it's an extreme difference between what the executives are getting paid and what the workers are getting paid.
But also people like companies like Trader Joe's and quite possibly Home Depot have done the math and see that their employees could actually get cheaper health insurance on the exchanges rather than what the company is offering.
Right. Right. No, I mean, and that's somebody who was talking specifically yesterday about Trader Joe's, that in that case – they're actually
Big companies like Home Depot and Walmart get a year's extension as well?
Well, I don't know about Home Depot, but
I'm not sure which specific ones.
Yeah.
But Trader Joe's, I think you're right. It's like they're actually trying to help their employees get a better deal. So I think it's, you know,
and that could be what's happening in Home Depot's case.
Really? You don't think all the money's just going into the CEO's pocket that he's going to save on not offering health insurance?
Well, I think some stuff is just partisan political stuff that they want to blame Obamacare for stuff they were going to do anyway, you know, and it's going to maximize their profits.
I mean, what I really think are the companies and the people that want to make this work will make this work to benefit not only the companies but the employees, and it's going to benefit the country in general. And people who want to play party politics are going to hurt not only their employees and their workers, but they're going to hurt the country. This is a much-needed change. Everybody knows the system was broken, and do the math. Bill Clinton said it at the convention in Charlotte last year. It's about math, and it is. That's what it's about. And it's about having a will to make this thing work. It's workable. What we had prior to Obamacare or, you know, health care reform was not working. It was a disaster. One of the top reasons people fall into poverty is because of a catastrophic health occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not right in America. I'm sorry. And we have smart enough people to fix that, and that's what we're doing.
You don't get her wound up.
Those are the
throw a stone and hit the congressional district she's probably going to run in from here. So,
but those are the
rules. Well, how do I disabuse these folks that it's not the fault of Obamacare? It's the management, basically.
Well, just that. Just you all need to do is say that
Obamacare did not shove anybody off of the insurance rolls of the company. It was the company that did that.
Mm-hmm. And it is not a government program, and it has only expanded options.
Right.
And frankly, it is not even close to what I wish it were. I wish it was. Right. You know, I wish it was single payer. I wish it were
like they have in, you know, sophisticated countries. Grown ups.
Here's what the president said in the first soundbite that Chris sent. That's the really teeny tiny print, and I'm not sure what he said, but I bet this is good. Here it is.
Okay.
All right.
Some have threatened the government shutdown if they can't shut down this law. Others have actually threatened an economic shutdown by refusing to pay America's bills if they can't delay the law. That's not going to happen as long as I'm president.
Snoopy there in the background. Interesting piece in the LA Times, Obamacare is Political Theater, by Marilyn Moon. And I, you know, it's, we've talked about this before, about how much, and people forget how unpopular Medicare was when it started, right, and all of that stuff. And what that you
socialism,
almost,
communism.
Right. Yeah, didn't Ronald Reagan do that ad about this? Well, one day.
This is the end of capitalism as we know it.
This is the day America died.
Oh, God.
Or whatever, Ronnie. Anyway, yeah, she says each week seems to bring new claims. The Affordable Care Act, which begins enrollment for coverage on health insurance exchanges October 1st, coming right up, will bring calamity. In many ways, the fear is reminiscent of Medicare's beginnings in 1966. Law passed in 1965 had just a year before it went live. There were plenty of naysayers and fears of potentially calamitous roadblocks. I mean, and some of it you can go back and, like, quote for quote, and it's the same, you know. For starters, many physician groups called for the national boycott. Jim, how many surgeons have we had call that just got out of surgery in time to give me a
right
talking point? Or, oh, there was somebody whose dentist had just received a call from Obamacare.
Hello, this is Obamacare calling. How can we ruin your life today?
How can we crush your spirit today? Yeah, they called for a national boycott. That never took place. Many physicians quickly realized that whether or not this was socialized, quote-unquote, medicine, Medicare would pay for visits by many Americans who'd never been able to afford care.
Right.
The number of people 65 and over using physician services jumped dramatically, and doctors and patients both benefited. Another concern was that Medicare law required hospitals receiving Medicare doctors to take all comers, thus desegregating U.S. hospitals in one fell swoop. Federal workers and even National Guard were put on call in July 1966, should disaster strike.
Oh my God.
But all was quiet, and Medicare contributed substantially to the spending, speeding up the desegregation of health care. Nearly a half century later, Medicare is, along with Social Security, one of the two most popular government programs ever and well accepted by the medical community.
Which is why Republicans want to destroy all of that.
Yeah, but how many calls have we gotten? The doctors hate it.
Yeah, they don't hate it, by the way. And people love it. People want it. We voted for it. We want it. We need it. It's been desperately needed. Like, for so many years, that's all I've heard anyone talk about.
Right.
For years prior to this, we need to change it. We need to change it. We need to change it. Finally, somebody has the guts and the political ability to do it, the president, and now everybody's throwing stones at him for doing it. And I think it's crazy. And people need to read up on it, do your homework, wake up and see that it's going to be so much better, because our health care stinks. It stinks in this country.
By the way, it is stunning, isn't it, Jim, the amount of people that have just really eerily convenient jobs with which to make the point that they've called into my talk radio show to talk about.
Well,
I don't know why I doubt that a surgeon just stepped out of the OR to call a talk radio show.
I am a surgeon.
Really?
I just don't practice anymore, I am a surgeon.
Well, you don't have to
practice. Really excited for Obamacare.
Oh, and isn't that surprising that we just found out yesterday that Billy from Texas apparently was an insurance
adjuster.
Adjuster of some sort. So he knows.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I was, too.
I
used to be,
too.
And
okay.
I'm so...
Speaking as an astronaut, brain surgeon, tap dancer,
that'd be like Melissa pretending that every role she's played, that she is that. I'm right. And Sandra Bullock is an astronaut. And, okay. Anyway, she goes on to say, what's different is Obamacare's opponents, more than Medicare, seem unwilling to make the law work. That's what's different at this point in our country.
There you go.
You know, and that's what really could be, you know, and that's why the president and others are out talking about this, because if they scare enough people out of signing up, particularly younger, healthier people for the exchanges, they have done everything they can think of to try and not make this work, which is just stunning.
Well, it's exactly parallel to exactly the same thing that they're doing with the government in general.
Right.
They're breaking it. They're really trying to break government so that they get to win at the end. But who loses?
Right.
The United States loses. Citizens lose. We all lose. And we cannot let them get away with this. I can't believe what's happening.
And then they'll roll back every kind of climate change regulation, and then they'll be president of Waterworld.
Yeah,
they will rule over Waterworld.
Well, the three that we have left.
Right.
And there is, I think, a 30-year, if we don't turn this around within 30 years, no matter what we do after that point, we'll be useless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
let me just finish the point of this piece. They said that this frenzied and often misleading opposition might seem comical if millions of people who stand to benefit weren't being put at risk. No wonder the polls find that people are confused. And that's what, sadly, the new polls are bearing out. One fear is that Obamacare is bad for business and will lead to unemployment, like this, you know, Joe that just called from Illinois. Yes, the UPS announced it would no longer cover spouses of workers who get coverage elsewhere, but while a few companies are using the new law as an excuse to do what they plan to do anyway, there's little evidence that many are. In fact, if employers do cut benefits, Obamacare offers options for good insurance at affordable prices, which is what we were just telling Joe. Another fear is that insurance costs will be higher, but announced rates for these new plans are turning out to be very reasonable. So a lot of great points, you know, basically just saying Obamacare is political theater, but the actuality of it. And anyway, she finishes by saying only those currently skimp on coverage now in the risky hope that they'll remain healthy and definitely may have to spend more for better plans. The latest dust-up is over navigators. Remember, we had that call yesterday.
Yep.
You can tell this, it's like the talking points go out.
Yeah.
The latest dust-up is over navigators, people hired to help buyers understand their choices and choose plans. Coincidentally, this program is modeled on those for Medicare beneficiaries that have worked well. The red flags raised about privacy, that was the guy yesterday, remember?
Yep, exactly.
Ain't they going to call up Obama and tell him, like, I don't know, what, for instance, what you're into sexually? What? No.
Well, first of all, has anyone ever been to a gynecologist? They do ask you those questions.
Right.
My entire adult life I've been asked those questions at every gynecological appointment I've ever been to. Please.
Right.
So,
that's part of what it is to be a doctor.
So,
right.
What do you do?
Listen.
Oh, Jim.
And I have to say, when I was...
Jim is a gynecologist. He has some questions for you.
Gynecologist astronaut.
Just conveniently for this conversation.
Jim's a gynecologist like I'm a surgeon.
Trust me, I know. I've had to live through years of gynecologist reactions. What? Really? Okay. Well, whatever.
Oh. Gynecologist going, oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, dear.
Holy crap. I've never seen one of those.
Anyway, she finishes, the red flags raised about privacy issues should be lowered because such counselors will know only what individuals choose to tell them if they seek help. Chances are, when the law takes effect and the sky doesn't fall, people will accept that both the requirement that everyone have insurance and the rules governing how insurance is offered are improvements to our health system, much as they accepted Medicare. Let's hope she's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That.
Plus, really, you're worried about privacy? I don't know. I was going through the insurance process, and I was talking to, maybe Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they asked me a tremendous number of personal questions, physical, emotional questions, all kinds of questions.
Right.
And then at the end, the guy says, hey, by the way, were you on the West Wing?
Oh!
And I was
no!
like, are you kidding me? I was so mad. I felt so, talk about privacy being invaded. That's prior to Obamacare.
Oh, by the way,
very much.
I'm not really a doctor. I just play one on TV.
I'm not really a doctor. I was wondering if you'd get me a job on the West Wing.
I just felt slimed. It was awful.
Yeah. No, I've been asked those questions, too, and I can tell they just checked the hot mess box. Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
Check the what? Hot mess what?
Hot mess box.
I see.
A box on the form.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. All right. 47 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hot Free in the City on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I thought you were an Armenian dude.
I was. That was in high school. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. After this, Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio with us. And Joe in Illinois called. He works at Home Depot. Of course, he called me because he assumes that I live there. Being a big les and all.
Yeah.
But however, he was talking about them cutting benefits for part-time employees, health benefits, and blaming it on Obamacare. And Melissa just found an article.
Yes. Please go to Rick Newman's article in The Exchange from Friday, September 20th, and it will give you all the ammunition you need to fight them. It says, actually enrolling could calm down people who are uptight about losing their part-time worker insurance. Obamacare was designed to make decent health insurance affordable for people who otherwise can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And whether you love or hate the program, it seems likely to succeed at that basic mission. And basically what the article says is people who have a lower income, their insurance is subsidized under Obamacare. So a family with three kids and has an income, a single parent with three kids, an annual income of $25,000 a year could get an almost $9,000 insurance plan for a total out-of-pocket cost of $500 per year. So people on the lower income scale, you know, part-time workers, are going to do better under Obamacare. People who won't do better are people who have higher incomes who can actually afford to pay for their insurance. So I think that a lot of this is hooey, and people are getting upset, don't know the facts, and they need to get to work and know the facts. And
or, as Rush Limbaugh often says, you should just pay for it out of pocket like he does.
Sure.
Because most people make exactly his income level. Sure. And can just, oh, I need a bypass? Why, I have the cash on me. Here
just,
it is.
Just send your maid out to get you some expensive health care.
No, but people, when they're actually, they break down what's included in Obamacare, the public is overwhelmingly for it. They're for what's inside Obamacare. But when you call it Obamacare, people are against it. And that shows you that it's been politicized. And I think that's a really bad thing for the American people and for people who need it.
Yep. Here is the president speaking yesterday about all the alls going on. The congressional falderall.
We're not going to submit to this kind of total irresponsibility. Congress needs to pay our bills on time. Congress needs to pass a budget on time. Congress needs to put an end to governing from crisis to crisis.
Oh, and by the way, you know, somebody wrote a good piece in Salon. And, you know, Jackie often says this, too, that, you know, the law is not perfect. And if we had, like, governing partners, like a lot of the Republicans, I don't disagree when they say we need to fix this.
Yeah.
There are things that could be fixed. And a lot of us felt like it should be, a lot of people that are not, don't like it think it should have gone farther.
Absolutely.
Be a public option. So one of the points that, you know, they said Obamacare is a work in progress. Its elements will be revised repeatedly in the years and decades ahead, with some expanded, others altered or rejected. And that's why we need partners in governing that care about actually the health and welfare of the American people, and not about just making anything fail that has Obama's name on it.
That is the point. You just made the point that is across the board what is happening to this country right now, and it's ruining us. And if we don't wake up and vote these, and I'm going to say it, these idiots out of office. These
people, said terrorists yesterday. You're being far too mild.
You know what? I agree with you because they are willing to sink this country to make a point, and that, and their point is stupid. I mean, I saw somebody at a, you know, you've seen this. It was all over the place. A woman with a sign that says, "Get the government out of my Medicare."
Right.
It's like, the government is your Medicare, you idiot.
Right.
Like,
get a brain, Moran.
Put the sign down.
Right. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hello. Dave in Minneapolis.
Oh, no,
I didn't hear.
Hi. He's not here, man.
Dave is here, Jim. Yes,
I am here again. I think all this conversation about Obamacare, it boils down to the issue of a culture of greed that we're living in right now. You've got the those who are against it. I mean, they're racist. They just are, because it's got Obama's name on it. And secondly, they're often the people who have the power, have the cash, and they're somehow just terrified at the notion that if I have something, you shouldn't have it. And if you do have it, that means I have less. And that, this is what they're promoting. This is what they're pushing onto our onto people, and they're using their scare tactics. And it's all based simply on greed. And I don't get it. I mean, the United States is supposed to be this, you know, magnanimous country. We share with everybody, but somehow that point has been totally disregarded when it comes to this issue. They use all this practical language and saber rattling and awfulness, but it really is about the character of the individuals who are pushing it. It's about their, you know, what do they consider God in their life? And it's, you know, it's cash, it's the money.
Well, I mean, you know, if there was any better example of selfishness than what Ted Cruz just did, and everybody recognized it. Thanks, Dave, for calling. I hope this is true. The Salon piece ends. The good news for all sides, including progressive supporters of a more universal system, is the Affordable Care Act has just begun a generations-long process of fixing American health care. Those who lose a battle today may win one tomorrow. Obamacare is not the beginning of the end of the great American health care debate, only the end of the beginning. And, you know, that's what we said.
Yeah.
You know, Medicare and Social Security were strengthened and improved over time. And you know, a lot of the problems that people bring up, you know, Chris and Jim and I are like, good, single payer. You're right. There's only one way to fix it.
But how wonderful would it be if we had all the great minds of this country working together to actually make this good for us as a nation?
Well,
because
that's what the president
sustainable.
Did. He's like, hey, Bob Dolan Heritage Foundation
that's
and Mitt Romney, good idea. Mandate. It's what makes the whole thing work.
Right.
You know? I mean, and then they'd make it seem like, what? Whose stupid idea was that? What? I mean, so
oh,
how,
mine?
Do you, yeah, how do you work with that? All right, 58 minutes after the hour, I'm making you stay because, you know, I'm lonely in my little shoe closet.
We get
here.
More Brie.
Yeah, and John Fugel saying, as we continue from New York, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show live on the road from New York City. Speaking of city, Hot Brie in the city live in studio with me, activist Melissa Fitzgerald, country singer, star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Shelley Wright live in studio next hour. John Fugelsang coming up on the phone from somewhere, some film set somewhere.
I believe he's in Michigan this time.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, he will update us on his documentary that he's doing.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we were saying that we conveniently have people that happen to be surgeons or insurance adjusters or whatever that just happen to have the perfect job to expound on whatever subject they think they're an expert on. And we found that somebody worked in Boucher Hospital.
That's right.
Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Brought to you by Filner Spittoons with state-of-the-art saliva collection technology.
Nurses to the nurses.
Doctor,
station.
We have an emergency. A patient with an acute subdural hematoma.
That's right, doctor. He has increased intracranial pressure, hemorrhaging of the temporoparietal locus, and must undergo endoscopic surgery immediately.
Yes, I concur. Prep for surgery at once.
Wait, right, doctor.
About to change.
There's a discussion about Obamacare on AM radio.
The will soon take on a much different meaning.
I must take this. Everyone stand by.
But doctor, what about the patient?
You don't understand. I'm a surgeon who listens to both sides and stumbled upon this argument on my way to surgery. I must respond. Nurse, give me that phone.
Nurse, give him that phone stat.
Tune in to Voucher Hospital next time to see if Obamacare covers Obama derangement syndrome.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain.
Yay.
Yay! That was great.
That was just
Can you imagine just like slipping under anesthesia? Are you calling a talk? What the hell are you? What?
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
Well,
subdural hematoma, whatever.
Whatever. Blah blah blah.
I do feel ultra qualified now because I had forgotten I actually did play a nurse on. I was Nurse Marilyn Cooper on General Hospital, so I am
really.
I'm in an authority.
Yes.
On Obamacare.
You know from the fourth floor nurses station.
And
I absolutely know. Yes. I know it all.
And I've done voiceovers for General Hospital, so therefore I'm a nurse also.
Yes. See?
That's true. I played a. I had what's that called? Under five appearance on General Hospital.
Did you really?
Yes. Oh, in fact, I think I can remember my line. Hang on, I said, Doctor.
Lynch, it's time to go. No.
No. That was Streetcar Named Desire. Doctor, here are the charts. That was it.
Really?
That's pretty
wow.
good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's an under one. That's
really good. I remember my last line on General Hospital. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody?
I got strangled.
Oh, is that it? Oh, awesome. That is
oh,
awesome.
Who strangled you?
Wow.
Someone who worked for a lackey of Dr. Dorman.
Oh,
I was having an affair with Dr. Dorman, and we set up Sonny.
What? See, naughty nurse, Jim. Did I tell you?
Mm-hmm. He convinced me to set up Sonny Carruthers to take the fall for the heroin trade in Port Charles, and then I got a guilty conscience, and I called Sonny, and then he killed me.
Oh, we have touched a nerve, my friend.
Look at her slut.
Wow. I have to say, Melissa Fitzgerald, you have played quite a few tramps. She's always like, oh, I played the so-and-so that had an affair with so-and-so. Oh, I played the woman next door that stole the husband from the one. I'm like, of course you
did.
Gee,
how did you get the job?
Actually, I just got a text message. Hey.
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 She
She's a good girl in real life.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. You gotta text.
I got a text message from a producer of a movie where I actually did also play, like, the town slut.
Right. Right.
And he lives in North Carolina, and he just has been listening to the show, and he said, in North Carolina, our Tea Party governor decided not to extend Medicaid, which hurts over 500,000 North Carolinians, mostly children.
Well done.
So the governor of North Carolina decided to give the finger to the president,
right,
and didn't really care that the collateral damage was 500,000 people from his own state. This is what we're talking about.
Wow.
And it's not okay. And these people have got to go.
Yeah.
Hey, Melissa.
That's just spite.
Yes.
Do you know a David in Charlotte? The guy you were just talking
to? This is David!
Yes, he is on the phone right now.
Oh, my God. David in Charlotte.
David, you tell it better than I did.
You're on with fictional slut, Melissa Fitzgerald. Real life good girl.
This makes my morning to be with all of these naughty nurses. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Mm. You hired me to be a slut in your movie.
Would you like some suction? Well, Melissa, that just says what a great actress you are, because that was not the role. You just went there.
That's how I read it.
Thanks for having me on, Stephanie. Love your show. I've been listening on 880 AM The Revolution in Asheville.
Yay!
You have exquisite taste in both broads and broadcasting.
Thank you very much. So, yes, great show, and you guys are hitting it out of the ballpark. North Carolina, I think we are ground zero for the Tea Party assault on the country. And, you know, we went from a progressive state that always had its issues, but very progressive, to an art Koch brother takeover of our state. And our governor is simply a puppet. And if y'all remember, the Supreme Court ruling allowed states to either expand Medicaid or not. And our governor chose to not accept that money. That was money that would have come to the state, that would have gone to lower working class poor, low income people, mostly children. And I'll give you a quick story here. A friend of mine who used to do fundraising in the hospital systems here, and he'd have to work with Republicans and Democrats to raise money for hospital programs. He's now working for a nonprofit that is serving the lowest of the low in terms of income. And he's had an awareness, an awakening. He said, David, he says, I didn't know this before, but conservatives hate the poor. And I think that's the truth that we're dealing with. And so I'm loving the tone of this conversation, Stephanie and Melissa, because this is the tone that the country's in. So I just want to give a shout out. I want to say thank you. I'm going to sign off and let you guys keep talking, but keep it up.
All right.
Thank you, honey. Shout out from the naughty nurses.
Thank you, David.
We love you.
I'm so happy to hear from you. But, you know, you had a caller earlier who was saying it was about greed.
Right.
And I just wrote a little note, and I said it's about greed, but it's also about ignorance. We, as voters, have got to educate ourselves and figure out what the truth is, because there's a lot of money being spent in order to lie to us, and we have to find the truth, and it ain't that hard to find it. And the other thing that I think it's about is I think it's about hatred of the poor, and I wrote that down in my note before David said it.
Yeah.
There is a looking down on and a hatred of the poor.
If you're poor, you deserve it, or you're lazy, you're stupid.
And we have got to turn that around as a nation, because it's going to sink us.
Yeah.
Not just the poor, it's going to sink all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that as a graduate of one of the minor Ivies, as Texas.
Right.
One of the lesser Ivies.
Yes,
that doesn't really count.
But I don't have to wear my Ivy ring to feel like I went to a good school, unlike Ted Knapp.
Yeah.
Snap. Talk about overcompensation. I wonder what else he's overcompensating for.
Hello. Two snaps up. Okay. Stop it, Ted.
But do you see he wears that big fat ring, that Princeton ring?
Yes.
I don't know one person who wears that ring. I don't know one person who went to Penn or Princeton or any other school that has to prove that they went there the way he does.
He has a giant oil painting of himself in his office.
Right. And he can't read a Dr. Seuss story all the way to the end.
Right. And misses the whole point of even that.
Exactly.
I bet Princeton's calling right now wanting to claim back the ring and the degree.
Yeah, and you get a zero in reading comprehension, you doofus. Here's the hard part is, you know, when you talk about this as political theater, Obama's approval rating is at a 2-year low. I mean, the problem is, and yet I'm looking at the next poll. It says Tea Party poll shows support at a near low ebb. I mean, I think what's happening is they are bringing everybody down with them. I mean, they're you know, they're hurting everybody in this.
Look, the country's going down, and you just have to look at the numbers. And it's going down because nobody's working together. We have a lot of great minds in this country. And frankly, I think we have everything we need to serve all the people of this nation.
Yeah.
We just have to care enough to do it. And I'm sick and tired of our elected officials not caring enough to do it, and us as voters not caring enough to vote those people out.
Well, I think, you know, part of this we talked about before is I blame the media, too, with this false equivalency. Because how do you... They kind of go, oh, well, they just can't get anything done, all of them. Oh, they're looking, you know, why would the president work with Republicans? President Obama's polling slumped significantly as the public remains skeptical about the health care law. This is the New York Times CBS poll. As we've always said, they've done a good job on lying and misinforming. 49% disapproval, 43% approval. Mr. Obama, they're saying, is being hurt by a public that has grown sour in the face of people see as a stagnating economy. Again, the sequester, they have not passed one jobs bill. They will not do anything to help.
And thank God we had a stimulus because that saved our bacon. Thank God we had one. Should have been twice as big, but the Republicans wouldn't allow that, and Obama compromised on it because he had to.
Here's the good news. Nearly 9 in 10, that's almost 90%, Jim. Say they are frustrated about the this prospect of the federal government shutting down.
And who do they blame for it?
Well, I mean, 56% of Americans say they prefer Congress uphold what has become known as Obamacare and make it work as well as possible. Just 38% of the public wants Congress to stop the law by cutting off funding. But nearly 7 in 10 say they would prefer an agreement they do not fully support rather than having the country default on its debt. Nearly three-quarters of Americans disapprove of congressional Republicans. More of the public supports Obama than Republicans to make the right decisions on the deficit, health care, and economy. But what kills me is how close they can be, though. You know what I mean? That it's a particularly worrisome sign for Republicans seeking re-election. Even those Americans who live in Republican-held congressional districts are split about whether the health care law should be upheld, improved, or defunded. So, it's hard to say. And then you look at the Tea Party poll. It says support for the Tea Party is nearly as low as it's been since the movement's creation, according to a Gallup poll. 22% consider themselves supporters of the Tea Party. That's it. And you go, and yet they're causing all of this havoc.
Well, because they are smart, and they get out in primaries, and they vote. Mm-hmm. And they make people like Mitch McConnell suffer when he does even one little reasonable thing.
Yeah.
And he's not doing a whole lot that's reasonable lately. But he does one little reasonable thing, and they smack him down. And that is threatening to him in a primary.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Overall
support down 10 points from the 32% who supported the Tea Party right after the 2010 election. On the flip side, Tea Party members are less than unanimously pleased with the GOP, with 55% of the members viewing the Republican Party favorably. So, there's a civil war going on over there in the first place.
But it's hurting all of us. This civil war, we're all collateral damage in it, and it's not okay. And I'm really at the end of my rope. You can probably hear it in my voice, but I'm really getting upset about this. I had dinner with a friend on Saturday night, and I told you I was really a jerk because he's a Republican. Like, how can you be a Republican today? I get it when we were younger. But today, how can you stand for what they're doing to our country?
Yeah.
And, I didn't have patience for it.
Food
really
fight?
Didn't.
Was there a food fight? Animal House? Did you squeeze any kind of cheese out of there? No.
Please say yes. Just say yes.
Just for Jim.
There's always a food fight. He has two little kids.
Yay.
Food was flying, actually.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue live from New York City. Hot Free in the City with a Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at her butt. It is so big. They only talk to her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet kicks with the open
booty. Really? Really? Okay. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Stephanie Miller Show live on the road from New York City. Melissa Fitzgerald, activist extraordinaire live in studio, who is currently on her smartphone. Did you hear the Louis C.K. rant? Did you guys hear this?
Mm-mm.
Chris and Jim, his rant is like all over the interwebs. He last week he told Conan O'Brien he doesn't let his daughters have smartphones.
Oh, yeah.
Children
yeah.
who communicate primarily through social media, he explained, don't learn basic interpersonal skills. Melissa?
What? Who?
because they don't experience the facial reactions that build empathy. Interesting.
Yeah, I think he's right.
I once said that to Roland. I went on vacation with him, and I was like, Roland, we haven't made eye contact in 5 days. Put that damn phone down, or I'm throwing it off the balcony.
And yet you've seen his balls.
And I have seen his balls, so there was that moment of intimacy. Splat. He then launched into a strangely poignant half-rant, half-soliloquy about how we reach for our smartphones whenever we start to feel the sadness that creeps up if our minds aren't otherwise occupied. He spoke about weeping in his car, of listening to Bruce Springsteen, of the elation that follows despair that was epic and preachy. People are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for 1 second, he said, of texting while driving.
Yes.
Tim Ward's bugaboo. Almost 5 million YouTube hits later, this quip has transcended strange poignancy and it's been anointed as a sacred testament. This in the LA Times yesterday about Louis C.K.'s rant about, but I thought that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Jim, that's your, but that's really true. When you think, like, people really are risking their lives and other people's lives because they don't want one moment of feeling alone.
Right.
Or
yeah.
It's
well, I think
insane.
It's like alcohol and food. It's those things that we reach for to comfort us so we don't have to be alone with our feelings.
I don't understand the alcohol point. What's your point about that? Is this an intervention? What have you guys done? Okay.
No, but can I just...
We all have our crutches.
Why I was looking at my phone was because people are writing in about what we're talking about, and people like David sent me that information on North Carolina. So that's why. I have an excuse right now.
Yes,
not
but you're
about
not driving,
wanting
so.
Not to be alone with my feelings about the horror of my life. I can do that in like an hour.
Okay, awesome. Let's go to Arnold in North Carolina. Hi, Arnold. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Steph. Happy birthday, darling.
Thank you, baby.
Yes, ma'am. Before I say anything else, last Friday you was on the Ed Show. Girl, you had on that yellow outfit. Now all that I had to do was, Lord have mercy.
Look, wanted to lick that banana.
That's right. I want you to wear that new birthday outfit on this show. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what? I'm not on today, unfortunately. I was supposed to be on the show today, but yeah, but no, just breaking news stuff and whatever. I'm bumped, as they say in the business. But perhaps next week. All right, go ahead.
I tell you now, like David, that guy you talked to from Charlotte, you know I'm from North Carolina too.
Right.
Now, Obamacare is going to free me up, darling. I'm going to retire in December early because I can afford my health care. If not, I would have to wait until 65.
When you call me darling, I want to retire with you. Can I do that?
Yes, awesome. Baby. I put you a nice little house there in North Carolina. You'll love it down here. Mm-hmm. All the fried
chicken. My 9-year-old Republican mom's house for homemade vegetable soup.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be full-time to go and fight these new Republican rules that they put up to discourage people from voting in this state. The shame that they did to the people down here, this new voter ID bull crap.
That's right.
We're going to fight it. We're going to fight it tooth and nail, and I'm going to be doing it full-time thanks to Obamacare.
Yay! We love you, Arnold. All right, thanks for calling. Here is the president yesterday talking about the Affordable Care Act.
It's a website where you can compare and purchase affordable health insurance plans side by side, the same way you shop for a plane ticket on Kayak, same way you shop for a TV on Amazon.
Right. I didn't understand because I use Orbitz, but okay. I get it. I take his point.
Well, you know what Kayak does? It shops all of the travel sites all at once and puts them side by side on your screen. And so you can see which one is cheapest for what you're looking for.
Including Orbitz.
Including Orbitz. That's basically what the Affordable Care Act is doing with healthcare exchanges.
I thought they were all the same, Orbitz cheap tickets. No?
No, they're not all the same. If you check them all at once, they could be vastly different.
Oh.
Yeah.
That has not been my experience, but I'm going to have to...
You mean a ticket to New York should not have been $7,000?
Probably not.
Well, I thought it was last minute.
Well, you shouldn't have bought that on a corner downtown.
Here is the president.
From a Nigerian prince.
Yeah, exactly.
Affordable health care is worse than a law that lets slave owners get their runaway slaves back.
That's what the GOP was trying to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just these ridiculous analogies. We were talking about Ted Cruz making Nazi analogies. I mean, it's just really
enough
people that
already.
Are afraid to stop health care are just like people that are afraid to stop Nazis, really?
People who want... People who don't have health insurance to get covered so they don't have to die unnecessarily, so that we don't have like a higher maternal death, death rate than third world countries. I mean, let's wake up to what the current situation is. Our healthcare system is broken, and this is fixing it. It's an attempt to fix it.
Well, as we were talking about that one article, it's a beginning at least.
Yes.
It's beginning to, you know, to fix a system that's broken. And I think it does need tweaks and improvements
of
and
course.
All of that. But it's just, it's...
What doesn't?
Yeah. Well, listen.
Besides you, of course.
My life. Let's start there. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, Melissa Fitzgerald, activist extraordinaire, live in studio with us here in New York. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
No, even drunk, he only had really nice things to say about you. And your butt.
God, I don't remember any of that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, in for a booze and Broadway birthday weekend with friends, including activist Melissa Fitzgerald, hot Bree in the city, live in studio with us. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Say, didn't I see you on the West Wing?
Oh.
Jim can perv out even from 3,000 miles away. Not even...
He is a professional.
Didn't we meet Melissa like a year ago? This
yes.
In Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah at the
exactly.
DNC.
It was around this time.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, Jim and I were had an hour of sleep.
Sight.
We were hungover, and we were like, who is this? We're having... Wow!
Hello.
Who is that? Hello now. Sit down, darling.
I am sitting down, sort of.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Oh.
No, we've said that because she may run for Congress in her home state of Pennsylvania, and we said you are Michelle Bachmann because you're hot, but you're smart.
And hopefully not crazy.
Right, well. You
and
know.
Not damaging, you know, the comments that she's made about even just healthcare, the HPV right. vaccines. How many girls did not get yeah. vaccinated because she said that? And what percentage of those young women will get right. cancer? I mean, these people are dangerous, and that's the part that's offensive. Like
yeah.
it's funny, and she does make me laugh like a lot, but I think she's
her
dangerous.
Big gay husband is really
the best.
What makes
the best
is more of a punchline, but still.
You're
yeah.
bastard
no,
people,
I mean,
and I hate your out face.
Thank you, Marcus. That's irresponsible for a sitting congressperson to go, oh, I heard this because some woman told me this thing.
Because people believe
what?
That she has actual information, that she's doing
right.
her due diligence about these issues, and she's not. I mean, it's sad when I do more due diligence on these issues than our elected officials.
Right.
That's
well,
a shame.
When you have a lot of people getting vaccinations, some people, some small percentage, are going to have a bad reaction to it. That's
yes.
just the nature of the beast. But
yeah.
Just deter people from getting something that they might urgently need because some woman told her something sometime.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dangerous.
And honestly, I think it, you know, because I do know a lot of people who don't believe in vaccines, and I think that that's, you know, their choice. I do think there are repercussions for all of us, but I do think that right. is it's their choice. But I feel like she was politically motivated in her comments, and
mm-hmm.
I think that that's really... That is beyond yeah. just ignorant.
Well,
it's bad.
There's a deadly? A Daily Beast. I don't think it's been deadly to anybody,
no.
depending on how you use it. But the Daily Beast has a headline, is Ted Cruz doomed to be a political flameout like Michelle Bachmann? The Texas senator is well on his way to becoming the 2016 election cycle's Bachmann with his stunts and confrontations. But if he wants the GOP nomination, he needs some establishment support.
I thought Marcus was the flameout.
Yes, he was definitely flaming. Bachmann annoyed Democrats and satisfied the huge conservative market for people who attack Obama with little regard to how it sounds outside the bubble, Daily Beast writing today. A large swath of the Republican base is eager to give money and enthusiasm to whoever piques liberals the most. It's part of why Bachmann was such a fundraising powerhouse. She didn't necessarily command respect, nor was she poised to achieve genuine power, but she annoyed Democrats and satisfied the huge conservative market for people, lawmakers or otherwise, who attack President Obama. Blah, blah, blah. Cruz wants to become the Bachmann of the current election cycle. He's well on his way to success and a healthy war chest for his next campaign. But if his goal is to become the next presidential nominee, he may have to hurt his cause with the last two weeks. So he may have hurt his cause with all these stunts of the last couple of weeks, because now Republicans hate him, too. Anyway, he said that to win, you need support from the establishment. Right now, as
yeah.
we've been talking about, there's a huge rift between the Tea Party and the GOP establishment.
Yeah. about time. It is about time because they allowed the Tea Party to pull them far to the right, and it's cost our country.
Yep.
And I want to punish all of them. I want to punish every last one of them at the polls.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because they're punishing us.
Yeah, he said, they finished by saying he's alienated more than his fair share of Republican colleagues. Indeed, if there was anything truly noteworthy about his speech Tuesday and Wednesday, it was how it was followed by John McCain, who ripped it to shreds.
I
mean, I seriously, unbelievable. So I think the end may be near for,
Let's hope
for
so. Let's see what
day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
All right. This segment of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Wackadoodle Cereal, our favorite cereal here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, kids, what's for breakfast?
My name is Michelle Bachman. I'm a member of the United States Congress from the United States of America.
And that's not all.
And joining me are two other members of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa and also Louie Gohmert of Texas.
It's sugar-frosted Wackadoodles, the number one breakfast cereal for American kids in the United States of America, where America is.
Thank you, and it has been wonderful to be here in Egypt.
Wackadoodles, part of this unbalanced breakfast.
It appears that the Obama administration has been backing the Muslim Brotherhood in recent months.
The Muslim Brotherhood, they're always after me, Wackadoodles.
And moms, remember, Wackadoodles contains 100% of your child's minimum daily exposure to lead-based paint. Try new sugar-frosted Wackadoodles. We're crazy. On your grocer shelf next to Fruity Putins.
All right. Kyle in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Yes.
Yes, Kyle, go ahead.
You know, you mentioned earlier that the Republicans are working on producing fear in young people to not take the health care insurance, Obamacare. But really, I'm 58 years old, and a lot of the 50-somethings have a real reason to be afraid. You know, we've all lived the experience of losing health insurance, things like that. Pre-existings, and we've dealt with it, and we have true fear. One of the fears that I have, and it's just basically because I don't know, Mitt Romney mentioned it. If I get elected president, I'm going to overturn Obamacare. So I have insurance. We have very good insurance. What happens when I change over to a different insurance to save money, for example? And is it possible that, you know, God help us if it happens, but let's say the Republicans did seize power somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Can they overturn Obamacare? Is it possible? Because we've been through this situation. My wife and I both have pre-existing.
Right.
You know, and if they came back and said, hey, you know, sorry, that was the rules
Well, they have to have, Chris, I think that, they'd have to have pretty large majorities to be able to repeal a law, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it would, you know, like with Glass-Steagall, they actually did. So I mean, that would have to be, again, talk about worst nightmares. That would be like huge majority.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Corey. That's a nightmare I don't even want to think about.
Well,
also face it's not going to be that easy for them to do
exactly.
it. And they've tried in every single way. They've tried in the courts. They've tried in the polls.
And the pre-existing conditions part, that's going to be incredibly unpopular if they try and repeal that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
and keeping kids on your insurance until 25. Yeah, you know, it's going to be incredibly unpopular to repeal that.
Mm-hmm. Especially once people experience
right.
the benefits that we are going to start experiencing
right.
starting
That's
in
what they're
well, already
of.
Starting, but like for many of us starting January 2014,
right.
I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to take it away.
Right.
Because once we have it and we know what we have, because I think that's part of the major problem right now is we don't know.
Right.
And we're scared of the unknown. But once we have it, it's going to be hard to grab that away from. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be hard to grab it out of my hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, cold dead ones. it's interesting. We had this whole argument going into this about the conservative Dems. This is why we didn't get a public option. Joe Manchin, I find to be somewhat unhelpful. I know he was helpful on gun control. However, Dino Joe Manchin backs one-year delay
Dino.
In Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
Obamacare individual mandate in continuing revolution. In a break with many congressional Democrats and President Obama, Senator Joe Manchin, the Wednesday said he would back a one-year delay of the individual mandate in the stopgap spending bill. I mean, this is how we got got here without a public option, right?
I know.
People going, oh, can I negotiate something or trade something with you? No, we don't need to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what?
But
thanks.
I mean, the reason Joe Manchin was helpful and not clearly not successful, but helpful having him, back with Toomey, the gun legislation is because basically his conservative cred is pretty strong.
Yeah. The CBO has estimated delaying the mandate would result in 11 million fewer people having health insurance. And obviously, President Obama, other congressional Democrats, very unlikely to go along with a delay in the current spending battle. Manchin's position, though, could give momentum to adding the provision, and that's the problem, is it just, it's like, really?
Everybody call Manchin today.
Yeah.
Call his office today. Flood him with calls. Flood him with calls and tell him, no, don't do it, dude.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's enough is enough, man.
Yeah.
Sick of you, Manchin.
It's before a robber even asked for your wallet. Would you like my wallet?
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, but cost is so high to these crazy behaviors. I mean, do you remember, I don't know, it was just a few years ago when the Senate was the place where the reasonable grown-ups were. It was the House where the kooks.
Right.
Now they're all kooks.
Right. Yep. Jay Carney yesterday, the president's press secretary.
The Affordable Care Act will deliver on its promise to make health insurance more affordable and accessible for Americans.
Boo! Socialism.
Boo!
Oh, here
Boo,
he is.
A healthy nation!
Noted douche nozzle Senator Ted Cruz, the Canadian-American.
If 41 Republicans stood together and voted against cloture, because we said we do not support the amendment that Majority Leader Reid has filed to fund Obamacare, when we told our constituents we oppose Obamacare, we meant it.
Yeah.
So we are not going to be complicit in giving Harry Reid the ability to fund Obamacare.
Okay. And if you laid every Radcliffe girl end to end, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Bye! Bing, 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 bing. All right. Senator Harry Reid, by the way. Here he is responding. Senator Harry
Reid. This law is a mess.
No, that's Senator Mitch McConnell. This would be Senator Harry Reid.
A clean debt ceiling. That's the path forward. There's no need for conversations. We've spoken loudly and clearly, and we have the support of the President of the United States, and that's pretty good.
Let me guess, Don Boehner's going to say something about the fact that we have a spending problem again?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Boehner, go ahead.
We're not going to ignore Washington's spending problem, and we're not going to accept this new normal of a weak economy, no new jobs, and shrinking wages.
What?
Oh, my God.
Right,
seriously, you clearly guys did this.
Yeah.
You did this. You did it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just feel like my head's going to explode. I feel as frustrated as I did the other day. Uh-huh. Yes, that's my head just exploded.
Oh, dear. Oh, Jim, you're not here for cleanup. John Boehner again yesterday.
Now, the president says, I'm not going to negotiate. Well, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't work that way.
Actually, it does. It works exactly that way.
It's always worked that way, that we don't negotiate over the debt ceiling. We just don't.
Yeah. And we don't negotiate with terrorists, thank you.
Yes. All right. And Eric Holder.
Economic terrorists.
I'm sorry. That's not on that subject. Never mind. Let's break and come back. 46 minutes after the hour. We continue live from New York City. Hot, free in the city. Elizabeth Fitzgerald live in studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I love disco. I hear it's making a comeback.
Yes, I'm going to Studio 54 tonight. It's still open, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City for Mama's birthday weekend. Activist extraordinaire Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio with us. Get her documentary, After Coney, fabulous.
Oh,
how can one get that?
You can go to AfterConeyTheMovie.com.
Gling. Do it.
K-O-N-Y.
And Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix, too.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. John Fugelsang calling in a bit. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, on her way in next hour. We have a Rockin' Friday New York show. I'm doing it on zero sleep, and I almost got hit by several buses on the way here. Welcome to New York. Is going to spit me out again like a bad organ.
Well, just don't come back with any broken bones like you did last time.
Yeah. New York just rejects me like a bad kidney.
Well, with an eye problem.
Yes, I broke my foot on the way out.
Ooh.
Yes.
Like the week before you broke your foot.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It was a long story.
Did you have health care? Did you have health care?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
thank
well,
you.
Lucky
Look,
you.
See how you
lucky
magically
you.
Brought that back around.
Lucky you, because so many people in this country don't.
Why, speaking of magic, Chris Allen, Texas, happens to be a doctor and is listening
to
the show.
Oh, Al got scared and he left.
Oh, shit.
That's too bad because I was going to ask for his help. I've been having sinus headaches and my back hurts. Maybe he could fix that
yes,
for me.
Yes, sure. That's too bad because he seemed to have a convenient talking point about how bad Obamacare
yes.
is, right?
Hey, don't I know you from the West Wing?
Yeah. I mean, it was really after about, I think it was about a 45-minute question and answer thing about very personal things and then said that. It was really creepy. I wanted to cry.
What are you doing for dinner?
Ew. Corey in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
How you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, this Republican stuff is so crazy to me, like trying to shut down the government. My mom works for the government. If they shut it down, she's not going to be getting paid for a while, not going to be able to pay her mortgage on the new house that she got not too long ago. And it's just like at every turn they get, they just try to screw everybody.
Yeah.
It's just they need to be taken out. Like, I don't know. We need to come up with
politically,
some laws.
Politically. We meant that politically.
Of course.
All right.
No, let me clarify. Of course, politically.
Yes, of
not
course.
Not that radical.
Exactly.
But, yeah, because it's like this is their job is to run the country, and they're trying to not do their job. If I don't do my job, I get fired.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Corey. By the way, that is a Squeezy McFeel Pants alert for Jim Ward.
Oh.
Shelley Wright just peeked her head in the window. Shelley Wright and Melissa Fitzgerald
wow.
together in studio. Okay,
wow.
Jim, just giving you a visual. Okay. He'll be in a second. Okay.
Wow.
Rolinda. Rolinda in New Mexico. Hello, Rolinda.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rolinda.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I know the big conversation this morning is Obamacare, and I live in New Mexico, and I'm actually an insurance agent, so I've been selling health insurance for many years now to individuals and groups and businesses. I've gone through, and there's an extensive training that you do online in order to be able to then help individuals with the new ACA. I'm concerned, well, first of all, there's several pieces of it that I think are going to be awesome. There's a lot of people in New Mexico that are, you know, we have a poor state, so there's a lot of people that are going to benefit that can't afford health insurance right now that are definitely going to benefit from the plan. I have a brother who has Parkinson's. So pre-existing conditions going to be fabulous for him.
Yep.
For myself, I'm, you know, about $55,000 a year. My health care plan, I mean, I pay right now $170 a month. I'm 56, single mom. When I go and shop, at least with the current plan that I have, the new plan coming out in January, my plan is going up to $429 a month.
Is that through your employer?
No, I'm on an individual plan.
Okay. Then you can shop on the exchanges as well.
Yeah, I know.
And see it go down like you see your clients go down.
Well, but my fear is that's not really how it's going to work. If I go and
that is how it's going to work. That's how it was designed to work.
I got that you're saying it's designed to work like that. And I guess the real proof is going to be when I go October 1st, and I go shop.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That way I can see, all right, I can shop for Blue Cross,
right.
I can shop for Presbyterian,
right.
And I can see. But the indicator right now, like I said, I'm on a Presbyterian plan that's $170 a month.
Mm-hmm.
On the marketplace for Obamacare, or ACA, I should say, it's going to be like $429.
That math doesn't add up from the numbers that I've looked at in terms of your salary. If you've got children, that should not actually be the numbers that I've seen in the articles that I've been reading. That seems, I don't know what kind of insurance you have. I don't know the details, but for your income, if you have children, that seems extraordinarily high and higher than any numbers I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay, Rolinda, thanks for calling. I don't mean to judge. It just was convenient that she happened to be an insurance adjuster.
Exactly. And Steph, we have a really yes. special phone call. We have someone from Boston calling in. Is this Charlie?
Happy birthday, Mama.
Aww. Charlie Pierce. You're such
I called
a
in
because
I didn't know it was your birthday. I didn't know it was your birthday, girl.
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday.
I would have bought you like a lovely 20-year-old pole dancer or something if I'd known.
Oh, well, you're the cutest boy. Aw, thank you, Charlie Pierce.
Is that my friend Melissa Fitzgerald there too?
Yes, it is, Charlie Pierce. How are you?
How you doing? Melissa and I met at the Washington Show inauguration weekend.
Sexy Liberal.
Everyone uses me to get to Melissa Fitzgerald.
That's
it is all right. You are no exception.
That is
Charlie
not
Pierce.
At all true. That was a highlight for me, Charlie, and I got a picture of us together.
I know. I did, and I actually put it on my Facebook page. So you managed to survive New York without any broken bones so far?
Yes, so far. Let me tell you what a deity Charlie Pierce is in Boston. At Boston Sexy Liberal, I thought Jesus had returned. I was like, wait a minute. I'm at the front of the room. Getting autographs. What? Who the hell is? I'm like, literally, people are like, Charlie Pierce.
It's the beard, actually.
Yeah, that invites the comparisons to Jesus.
They're like, Santa's here. No. All right, Charlie Pierce, we're out of time. Thank you, honey, for the birthday.
I know.
Wishes.
I just wanted to call and say happy birthday. We'll talk to you later.
I just feel like I feel like I'm cheating on Tuesday, Charlie Pierce, with Friday, Charlie Pierce. So I have to go now.
See you Tuesday.
All right.
Adios. Stay out of the way of the buses. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Charlie.
Did he say see you next Tuesday? I know what he's saying.
Yes.
All right. Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, next live in studio as we continue. We love you, Hopri.
Love you guys.
All right. Right back on
Get
the
Get health insurance.
Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
What's that, Chris? Am I having one smoking hot chick after another in the studio when I'm away from the studio and not where Jim is on purpose just to taunt him? Yes! Yes, I am. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright!
Thank you. So good to be here. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, all.
It's officially a perv free zone today.
Hey, so. Shelley.
Yes. Thank God. It was part of the deal of my coming back.
Right. Well, and also, Jim Ward, Shelley Wright is a new mother. She had twin boys 4 months ago. And looks amazing. She's one of those women everyone hates, ladies and gentlemen. She looks exactly the same.
I found my first gray hair a few weeks ago.
Did you really
first
now?
I'll be 43 next month, and they're aging me rapidly.
Well, you said, I'm sorry, I dressed down today. We had a long night with the boys. I'm like, is there any night that's not a long night with twin boys?
The nights are getting better. They were preemies. They were early, so they've had to feed pretty regularly throughout the evenings. And so the past couple of weeks, they've been sleeping, 6 hours straight, 7 hours straight. Last night, we thought this could be the night. Right. This might be the night they go until 7 in the morning. They were up every 2.5 hours. I'm not complaining.
You're making a remarkable amount of sense for that whole situation.
But it's great, and we love it, and it's challenging and rewarding, and it's everything everyone says it is.
Right. That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
I, as you know, a childless loser. However, I'm thrilled for you and your lovely wife, Lauren. Hooray! Shelley Wright, new mom.
Thanks, Aunt Scott.
Oh, boy. No. Don't come to me for the babysitting.
Oh, we won't. We just want a gift.
She'll be like, is this Chardonnay in the bottles? What? They're sleeping like babies, aren't they?
Steph, did you use all of the Benadryl on the day? Good old Aunt Steph.
What is that like? I mean, I remember hearing about it. I remember we were going to get together at one point in New York when I was here last time, and you said something, and I was like, oh, I wonder if she's trying to get pregnant.
Oh, right. What was that? I think I was, you are two women getting pregnant, there's a procedure that you have to go through.
Right, right.
And so I think
not like that, Jim.
Not that procedure. I think I was taking hormone shots.
Right.
And
right,
I think that we were going to get together and I couldn't.
I sussed it out because I was like, are you sick? Oh, no. I get what it is. Okay.
It's nuts. The process is amazing and nuts. But
What was it like when they said, by the way, it's going to be twins?
Okay, let me tell you about this. again, with the IVF, you fertilize an egg and you put it in and the whole thing, and it's amazing. We went to a great clinic here in New York City. I begged my wife, please, let's just do one egg. Let's just focus on one egg. She said, why? I think we should put two or three in. And I said, no, because I can't do twins. I'm telling you, I'm older. It's a big deal. They're expensive babies here in New York City.
Right, I'm told.
And it's, I can't do it, honey, please. And I cried. And everyone was on
and
her side.
And that didn't work?
Oh, it did work. Everyone was on her side. Let's do two or three eggs. The doctor, my sister, her family. And so I begged, and she said, all right, we'll do one egg. So our doctor even said, if you want to be guaranteed you have one baby, we'll do one egg. That's wonderful.
Right.
Uh-oh. So we go in, we find out that we're pregnant. And there are levels that, this is a little in-depth, but I'll sum it up in that there are counts and levels in your body, your blood count, that indicate, you know, if you have twins, it would be double, right?
Right.
But not with identical twins.
Oh.
When they share a placenta.
They're sneaky.
Yeah, they're sneaky. So 6 weeks or so after we found out we were pregnant, we went in, and that same doctor was looking at there's the heartbeat, and you see, there it is right there. And Lauren said, what is that? Is that like the placenta up there? And the doctor's jaw dropped. She said, guys, there's something I have to tell you. There's another baby. And I started to cry. I began weeping. And Lauren did a Tiger Woods fist pump.
Relic.
Like, yes.
No. I win anyway.
Yeah. So, but it's meant to be. It's what we suppose it's what God thought that we could do.
Right.
We're getting caught up to that.
Yes. And boys, two boys,
and they couldn't be cuter.
Aww.
And they have no hair, and they are just precious. We love them, George and Everett. We love them.
Oh, that's just going to ask George and Everett
after our grandfathers.
Aww.
Not Chad Everett,
isn't it? Here.
You realize that if there are religious right people listening, and you just said that's what God intended, you realize that now I'm going to get hate letters. You know how we always do.
Yeah.
Right.
This is why I come. I like to stir it up.
I like to stir it up.
Yeah. Do they monitor you?
Of course.
Stream,
oh, God, yes. Yes.
Hi, Newsbusters.
Hi, Newsbusters. Yeah, but I mean, because you're always so good at that, because you are really a true Christian. And I
am.
Yeah, and I was telling you how powerful that moment was for me watching you on Larry King when, you know, you said I'm gay and I'm a Christian.
What?
And people, right, what? Exactly.
How is that possible?
You could feel heads exploding.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been the biggest source of struggle for certain Christian right-wing people to understand that I'm saying I'm gay and devout Christian. You know, I'm prayerful every day. I spoke to my spiritual advisor last night. This is a part of my life. It always has been. And they would like to say they own God, but they don't.
Yeah.
We have to share God.
Have you experienced another wave of that? Because obviously, you know, that was your whole story and why the film was so great, because country music, that was like, oh, my God. And, you know, it seems like now that we've come so far so fast, but, I mean, you got married. There's that level. Now you've had kids.
Yeah.
And have you experienced another wave of that when you go on and say something like that's what God intended?
Yeah.
They will say, well, that's not what God intended for two women to have. And how do you deal with that? And how do you respond?
You know, I think my first couple of years out, I was more able and willing to get into the ring and have discussions with people about it, because I wanted to use my voice for change and to facilitate ease and understanding. But I have to work on this. I'm getting a little bored. You know, I've got twin sons.
You don't have time for this nonsense.
I don't have time for...
You're like, I'm hormonal. I don't have time for your nosy questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm breastfeeding. There's so much going on. To have someone say, well, they didn't do it biologically, well, I guarantee there was biology. There was a lot of science. You know, there's a lot that went on. And so I have less of a tolerance to deal with someone who wants to say that, what are they saying? My babies aren't real? They're real.
Right.
They're crying all night. They're pooping. They're peeing. They're real babies. Right. We are a real family. And if they don't like it, they're obviously our country is telling them they have to get on board. So I got to pull my big girl panties back up and reengage the discussion, because when you're pregnant and you're hormonal, you kind of just say, I can't be bothered with these
Yeah, I've got a real life to live. I can't, you know, be. But I think that's
also a responsibility.
Well, because that was the whole argument when, you know, as you followed, obviously, before the Supreme Court, when they talked about why there shouldn't be marriage equality because they can't have kids. I mean, and so, you know, you go, first of all, that lets out people that are infertile, people that don't want to have kids.
Right.
People, you know.
Bob and Liddy Dole need to get an annulment.
Right. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
As, you know, and I've heard, I listened to your show. You were so compelling and so good and so clever, as you always are during that DOMA stuff, and the arguments are just, I think they must be bored with themselves,
right?
Because they're saying the same recycled stuff that just doesn't hold up. So
I know, didn't we say that during the Prop 8 arguments at some point? It just seemed like they were like, that's all I got.
I know.
Didn't they say, what's the harm, you know?
I can't think of it.
And straight people never get in vitro or anything like that. It's straight people get in vitro.
Right, and then you could use the same argument, right? God didn't intend that.
Yeah,
If
we're going to talk about ways in which gays and lesbians use science to further their reproductive endeavors,
right,
then I think we need to have a talk about
Cialis. Thank you. Should someone have a 4-hour erection? I don't think so, Jim.
Yeah. I think it's got
to. That's only if you're doing it wrong, Stephanie.
Jim.
If you have the whole bottle.
Jim.
You know.
Jim.
Jim.
Or you could just never mind on it.
Right. Yes, if God had wanted you to have an erection, he would have given you one.
Yeah.
Why do you need a pill?
Yeah. It's clearly God's will that you stop doing that.
Right.
Stop it. And why the two bathtubs in the commercial?
That's
not
Cialis,
sexy.
Yeah.
You would think.
You'd be having sex with yourself in the separate bathtub.
That's weird, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
I have often said I think the Cialis commercials are what turned me gay, because straight sex just looked way too confusing.
How could you do that from two tubs? I would say one tub would be more reflective of what they're trying to sell.
The walls
did our kitchen just turn into a waterfall?
Yes,
or did you get an erection?
Apparently they put acid in those pills.
No, it does. It looks like a bad acid trip.
Yeah.
Straight sex in those commercials to me.
Jim.
Hmm?
Jim.
Jim.
Jim, the light is on. We're on the air. Okay. All right.
Oh, by the way, I have a story right in front of me because this is, again, guy thing, and you'll need to know this because you now have boys. You have twin boys. Ex-deputy mayor of London has posted penis pictures on Facebook.
Oh.
Yay. Welcome to...
What's that about? What's that about guys and pictures of their junk?
I don't... Did this just happen?
This is a new one. Can I have breaking
news?
It's the
mayor?
Sure. This is, yes. And he's a conservative, of course.
Right, of course.
Conservative. Yes, Richard Barnes, former deputy mayor of London, member of England's right-wing conservative party, accidentally uploaded several pictures of his naked torso and unclothed crotch to his public Facebook page, apparently because he activated the Facebook iPhone app's auto-upload feature. Was the danger in me
Facebook,
accidentally downloading the new Apple iPhone iOS.
Well, but you don't have the Facebook app because you don't have a Facebook page.
Right.
So you don't have anything to worry about.
Right. Well, my point is I would not have accidentally have crotch pictures on here that I would accidentally upload.
Do you have crotch pictures on your phone?
From the sexy liberal
shows.
So he put it on his Facebook page, so it wasn't like to a person.
No, it was he had just taken all
of
selfies. Yes. Everyone's into selfies now.
His settings were such that every picture that he took with his iPhone automatically uploaded to his Facebook page.
Wow.
Right.
It was
supposed to be a personal homage, like, oh, look at that from that angle. Oh, look at it now. It's like balloon animals or snowflakes. It looks different. Look at that. So he was just, you know.
What were those things you flipped through and showed the picture books when you were a kid and you flipped through it like a fun pad?
A flip book, yeah. Yeah.
It's like that.
Exactly. He made a flip blank book. All right. Anyway, I didn't have my bleep button to say the thing. Okay. All right. Yeah, but it is.
You don't have a bleep button here?
No, I don't have one. I don't travel with my box. I've gotten in too much trouble. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Well, you know.
All right. We all know in the Stephanie Miller Show lore, Shelley Wright, of course, the gay whisperer, she's the one that kicked me out of the closet, and then I pulled her out of the political closet, and she is...
It's true.
And we will talk about that, because you are a Democrat.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Who'd you vote for?
You can't do this.
Okay, all right.
But I'll tell you what, I strongly supported Chris Quinn for the mayor of New York.
Okay, all right.
And I
very strongly advocated for President Obama.
Oh, well, there you go. That sounds a little partisan. 19 minutes after the
oh,
hour.
Oh, Steph.
Right back. Shelley Wright live in studio and the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh my God, Jim. Shelley Wright is dancing like she danced in that video for Shut Up and Drive or Single White Female or one of them things.
If you notice about my videos and my dancing, my wife pointed this out to me. She said, you really can't dance, can you? I said, you know I can't. She said, the directors seem to have you just walk.
Okay. Yeah, true. But it was really sexy. It was a really sexy walk. It looked kind of like dancing,
kind of. Yeah. Or low blood sugar. Or. But that was always the thing: is we got to get you moving. Just walk toward the camera. Walk past the camera.
Right.
Because I really can't dance.
Right. And well, no, I saw that right there. Even just the chair dancing was a little, but it was still cute.
Yeah.
All right. Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, live in studio. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number if you want to talk to Shelley. We haven't seen you in so long. It's just so
long.
This is a homecoming.
This
Mama in New York.
Last time I was on your show, it was in L.A., and I think I was staying at your house.
Yes, and then I remember the time you were here, you were late, and you brought your guitar, and I was like, wow, that must have been hard to get a cab. Was that
right.
A, what the hell?
It was a Gibson J200, probably.
There you
Oof.
Go.
Mm.
Now I brought my harmonica, and I would like to do a number.
Oh, you're just kidding, right?
I am kidding.
Okay, good.
Oh,
all right,
come
now.
On. I want to hear you play harmonica.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't.
So what? Let's talk about that. We talked about kids. You just had twin boys 4 months ago. But what else is going on professionally? Because many fans and people. I mean, everybody loved the film so much.
The film is up for an Emmy, and those Emmys will be, I think, in the next week here in New York. They're the news Emmys.
Oh, cool!
Wow.
So I'm really happy for.
I'm completely blanking because I'm that old on the name of the film.
Wish Me Away.
Wish Me Away.
Something you would never do to me. Wish Me Away, and you were so great to kind of. Get out the information to your listeners and
that's right. We had the film premiere out in L.A. and you guys and your sister stayed at my house, which was hilarious because your sister kept asking me how much my house was worth and how much money I made.
My sister is
very cute.
She's not, and she wasn't asking because she's rude. I mean, she is rude, but she was asking because she genuinely saw everything that you have. She does this with people,
right?
And she wants to know. She has a really natural curiosity, and she wanted to know, she's from the Midwest, she wants to know what houses out there cost, how did you get this, how did you hone your craft? So my sister once sat next to my production manager at the Ritz in D.C., first night she met him, we were there for a show, she sat down and she said, Sean, he said, hi, Jenny, nice to meet you, and she said, can I ask you something? He said, sure, Jenny. She said, have you ever had a hooker? And she meant it, she's curious, so she wasn't being rude to ask you what your net worth.
Right.
Anyway,
I just looked her right in the face and I said, selling pure Bolivian cocaine. That's how I got this house.
Pure.
And I will kill you if you didn't. No, I didn't say that. All right. Now, so what else are you working on these days?
I having the babies was a busy time, but being pregnant and after I delivered, I was able to, I've been working on an animated feature musical.
Oh, how fun.
And I told you about this a couple of years ago.
Right.
I called Steph and I'm like asking about screenplays because I had written it as a book. I'd started it as a book years ago and then decided after I read the Steve Jobs book.
Right.
Have you read it?
Yes. But not the whole thing because it's big.
It's big. It's long. There are hard words in it. But I read it and it inspired me. Now I think he was a jerk, like a grade A.
Oh, absolutely.
Weird,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But not to say he would ever hang out with me, but I probably wouldn't enjoy hanging out with him.
A lot of people did not enjoy hanging out with him.
Right?
Yeah.
But what did you glean from the read? I learned something. He inspired me to go beyond what you think you can ever do. Go beyond what you understand. Go learn. Find a way to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a love for aesthetics and technology.
And he was uncompromising about it. uncompromising.
Absolutely. Yep. So his gold standard was, he just said, always go for the gold, right? So I was on my honeymoon when I read the book. How very romantic.
Wow.
And
I only have 75,000 more pages, honey. I'll be right there.
Great. Well, you know, I was recovering from that foot surgery, so we had the worst honeymoon ever. Anyway, I digress. So I came back from the honeymoon after having read that book and realized I've got to adapt this to a screenplay. So I called you, Steph, and I was like, do you give me tips on how do you write a screenplay?
Because I've written so many successful ones. What?
Well, you know, I mean, you're in L.A. You know all that.
Right.
So anyway, long story short, I finished my first draft, and then I partnered with a guy named Jeff Sherman, whose father was Bob Sherman of the Sherman Brothers. They wrote all the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Mary Poppins music.
Wow.
And so
It's a Small World?
It's a Small World, mm-hmm. That's right. So he said, well, I will help you finish rewrite this and work on the screenplay only if you make it a musical. And so we've written the music and the screenplay together, and Kristen Chenoweth is producing.
Oh, wow.
And we have a great producer who produced.
You are also an awesome writer, as is evidenced by your book, Like Me.
Thank you.
See? I remember the name
of
the book.
See how you did that?
Lift it off the ground, the CD. Come on.
You are very good.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Shelley Wright live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, who's a brand new, well, now she is a slash screenwriter, because she has an exciting new project she's working on. And,
Look, everyone on either coast is a screenwriter, right?
Of course, but you actually are.
Well, we'll see. I'll keep you posted.
Yes, please. In the meantime, Chris and Jim, she has been torturing me with how cute her twins are.
Aww.
I've seen video and pictures of the four-month-old twin boys.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Would you?
They are in a process of trying to eat their hands now.
Fascinated with their hands. And to the point of it, like, I don't know, it's weird. I'm nervous about it.
Right. I'm sure it's just a phase.
How weird. Babies do the weirdest things, and my feelings about the weird things that they do surprise me.
Right.
When they have a bathroom event.
Right.
It brings me such visceral, like such joy.
Right. Yeah. That's more like parents are weird, in my opinion. But
it's got to be, and it's disgusting when you really think about it. But to me, it's indicative that everything's working.
Right. Everything's working.
Yeah.
Moving through.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it's the little victories.
Wow.
I know. But you know what? You're a dog lover.
Yes.
And you know, and you're gorgeous, beautiful dogs.
Right.
You know when they...
Yeah. Not that happy about having to
scoop up their
up.
Little victories. Yeah.
Little victories?
Thank you, Max, for this enormous victory today. Mommy thanks you, and for the delightful aroma.
They're victories the size of a Buick.
They are big dogs.
I wish their victories
were
smaller.
What do your dogs weigh?
Like 125, something like that.
More than you, that's weird.
A skosh. So anyway, what else were we? Oh, we were talking. You know, it was interesting. You have an event coming up in Kansas City.
We do, the Like Me Lighthouse, which is the LGBT center there that I was fortunate enough to found a couple of years ago. We are having our annual charity fundraiser on November 13th. Yes, it's a Wednesday night, but guess what you get?
What
you get? Margaret Cho. You get John Fugelsang. You get Judy Gold. It's going to be fun.
Friends of the Stephanie Miller Show. So, John should be calling in, I think, at some point.
Wonderful.
The end of the show.
And if you want information, I'm going to send the poster to your producer, and then he can put it on your website.
Get on that, Chris.
Right away, Ms. Miller.
All right. And if John calls in, they can speak Bible to each other as they do.
That's right.
John knows the Bible really well. Yeah. I'm just saying. He knows it inside and out. I love to watch him argue and debate Bible stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even get in there. I don't even know what the book. I've read the Bible. I've read it from cover to cover. How many times must he have read it to understand it the way he understands
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like Bible Rain Man. He just
well, his right? mother his yeah. mother was a nun and right. his and his father was a Franciscan brother.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So but I'm going to ask him today how many times he's read it. What's your guess?
I don't. Well, you know, he's a stand-up comedian that's lived on the road, so I'm going to say about 25,000. Because it's the only book in any comedy condo that you go stay at.
You can probably true, quote it in Aramaic and Latin.
Right. Yeah.
Super
old
smart.
Greek.
Right. Exactly. We were just chatting during the break about interesting. You know, we were joking on the air the other day that a friend of mine and I have an idea for a show called Blurred Lines after the Robin Thicke show, but about that also could be funny, could be a reality show, but it's also about stereotypes and
right.
about how, because we were saying at least several women we know, you would swear they're straight or not, or women that you'd swear would be gay or not, and same with men, some men that we know, and we were saying that seems to me like the next front. We've come so far on gay rights issues mm-hmm. that it just seems like that's the next front, just stereotypes, you know. I was telling you about this, we were talking about the piece in your movie
right.
where your editor was accusing you because you wanted to wear something sexy for a photo shoot, and
yeah.
she said, why are you trying to look like you're trying to attract
yeah,
a man?
Said, yeah, her name is Victoria Wilson at Random House. She was my editor, great, amazing editor, and made me step up and learn to be a different kind of writer, a better writer. And for that I will always be thankful. But in the film you will see that she and I had a bit of a falling out because there was a photo that we were going to put in the book, and we did put it in the book. And she said, what were you thinking? That's how she talks. What were you thinking? I shouldn't mock her in that way. But she said, what were you thinking? And I'm in a swimsuit and looking, you know, very sexual and sensual. And
right.
she said, you're clearly lying in this picture. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, you know, you're going to offend the lesbians if you continue to dress like you want to attract a man.
I beg to differ.
And that's what I told her. Yeah. She said, no, it's clear that you're trying to attract a man. You're still playing straight.
Oh, my God.
Way.
Really?
And I said the F word in
Oof.
The film. I was so angry, and I don't usually swear, but I did because I was really mad and so upset that this woman with whom I had been working on my story, I thought she would understand me better, that I'm not,
right.
you know, there are butch lesbians,
right.
there are femme lesbians, but she doesn't believe in femme lesbians. She thinks we're still trying to
see,
play straight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that is the next front is just kind of blowing up all those sort of stereotypes. And
it's important.
And you were always, you know, and I think you've always been so eloquent about that, about why you honor the people that never could hide.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things when you kicked me out of the closet with your giant cowboy boot. Because you said that's why it's important for those of us that can hide not to.
Okay, it wasn't a cowboy boot.
All right, whatever.
It was a nice pair of heels.
Right.
I assure you. But that's something you and I have had a lot of discussions publicly and privately, and I feel strongly about it. That there are those, and we you and I get to do a lot of LGBT events where we
right.
meet those people who never could hide for 1 minute,
right.
and you and I could.
Right.
And so it's
and they would say, what do you guys know? You were never discriminated against because people assumed you were straight.
Yeah. But then again, we can't be too harsh on ourselves because we are who we are.
Right.
And there are, you know, there are women like us that are just feminine. And, you know, it doesn't mean I can't play softball. You know,
right.
I can play softball.
And here's the weirdest parallel universe, Chris. She's actually wearing a baseball hat today and I'm not.
What?
So,
no.
Because I have fancy New York meetings today, so I'm in a dress.
Oh.
Yeah. And you look fabulous.
Thank
Last
you.
Time I was in this studio with you, I was dressed up, and you were in a ball cap. See? So look
See?
At us. Look at all
See,
topsy-turvy.
See, it's so confusing.
Who are we? What are
it's
we?
So confusing,
Jim. You can't figure
Jim.
Us out. You can't nail us
We're
down.
Like, we're Leslie ninjas. No one can figure out what's
oh,
going
on. It's hard to pin you down.
But we were talking about Frank Bruni, who I love, in
yeah.
the New York Times.
Yeah.
But I think the piece was something to the effect of born, you know, the anthem has become born this way.
Mm-hmm.
But should it be? Because as we, at least in my opinion, or as most people I know, it's sexuality is a continuum. And some people are gay. Some people are straight. Awful lot of people I know are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's what I'd like to get past is just labels in general. You
right.
know, are you gay? Are you bi? Are you, you know, I have a friend that was with women for many years and got married and had kids. Like,
right.
what do you say? She was gay and now she's straight.
Right.
I know women that have done it the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, are they suddenly gay? I mean,
you know, ideally, I didn't mean to cut you
no,
off.
No, go ahead.
I think you when you say you'd like to get to the spot where we don't have labels, that's wonderful. That's right. Great. I think we've got a couple of stepping stones. That's like going to home base before you touch second and third.
Yeah.
Right. I think we have got to continue, as much as I hate labels too, we do still have to identify in certain ways until all of America, all of the world understands that how vastly different human beings are mm-hmm. in their sexual identity.
You and I talked about this when it was, because obviously this is before DOMA and, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was before all of this stuff. And I think that I even talked about, and, last time I had a date with a man was in an Edsel. But even I worried that, am I going to hurt the cause about being born that way or
right.
this being a choice or not? Because even my mom would ask me, aren't you, we all had that conversation. Mm-hmm. Oh, Steph, you're so pretty.
Right.
Aren't you attracted to men? Yeah. And I said, yes, I am. I just, yeah. I feel more comfortable in a relationship with a woman. And but I had boyfriends in my 30s or whatever, and so you say I was straight then and now I'm gay. And I think that's one of the things that I find a lot of people I talk to have a hard time with. They just don't want, I think human beings don't want to be labeled.
Well, first of all, people who label people are idiots.
That's right.
See what
we can
you
label
did there?
Them idiots, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think again, we're putting the cart before the horse to imagine that we can have a world without labels. We've got a lot of work to do first. A lot has happened since you and I came out.
Right.
I'd like to think that you and I changed the world.
Yes, just you and I.
This team right here.
Right.
But I know people too who used to be happily married to men and now they're with women. I said the other day to a friend of mine, a boy's name came up, and I said, oh, the first boy I ever loved, his name was Augie. And she said, oh, you loved a boy? I did. I did love
right.
him. I didn't understand the entire range of emotion that come along,
right.
of emotions that come along with love, because I was 17,
18,
right. 19
yeah.
years old.
Yeah, no,
and then
too.
The more I learned about, oh, gosh, there is something missing.
Me too, and by that I meant I was dating the same guy, Augie.
Right.
Sorry, I've been waiting all this time to tell
so
you.
Was you.
I apologize.
That's really weird.
Sorry.
Really weird. I have so many images in my head right now.
All
I can't handle it.
Yeah, but my point is, we talked about this, that, a lot of us that are involved politically as well as, one of the things you and I both went through is when you're a private person. Like, that was mm-hmm. one of them. I'm like, I didn't, and I never, as Chris and Jim know, I never pretended on the air to be. I never said I was straight. I didn't make up boyfriends. I just didn't talk about my private life. I just
let me ask
and,
you
but,
this.
And then when people say they're private, there's that part. And then look at Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah.
When she said, for me, it was a choice, she took all kinds
she
of crap
got,
from
yeah.
because she was married, had kids, and then now she's with a woman.
Well, you've
yeah,
had about 17 future husbands.
That is true.
Right. Well,
the whole fireman thing, too.
I will put a label on those people. If you thought that that was anything more than a joke and a political crush, you're an idiot.
She's a comedian, people.
For God's sakes.
Yeah, Cynthia Nixon got, lambasted, which was unfair because you know what? Your story is your story.
Right.
And you are obliged to tell your truth if you choose to tell your story. You can only tell your story.
But that's what I mean. We can't make people afraid to tell their story because they're going to get judged or they didn't do it the right way or they didn't use
that's
the
correct.
Right word.
And we in the LGBT community are harsh on our peers. Let's talk about that private thing, though.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Yes.
The only reason I ever used that card in my celebrity years was
right.
because I was in the closet. You very seldom meet any publicly known person who evokes the, I'm a private person card. And, there
right.
are rare exceptions, but usually it's because they are private because they are in the closet.
Right. Well, so, once again, you have successfully called BS on me because I am talking about how private I am on my public microphone that I talk into 3 hours every day.
Right.
That's how private
ding,
I am.
Ding, ding.
Where people know that I need to tickle my butt to pee. Because I have shy pee syndrome. Other than that, I'm incredibly private, Shelley Wright. And how
did you know that about her, Shelley?
I did. I'm really.
Just a little bit.
Don't tickle her butt, whatever you do.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. All right, 46 minutes after the hour.
Wow.
Back for the remaining moments while Shelley digests that. Shelley Wright on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You may be right. I may be crazy. You may be wrong for all I know, but you may be right.
didn't start the fire. Stop accusing him.
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show / screenwriter, Shelley Wright, live in the studio here in New York City. Jim in Tennessee wants to talk to Shelley. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Hi, Jim. Where in Tennessee are you calling from?
Lynchburg, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
I had listened to you. I got to thinking about how Ashley Judd at one time kind of stuck her political toe in the water there, thinking about running for office, and I wanted to know if you had ever thought about running for office in Tennessee.
Well, I have thought about that. I haven't done anything beyond think about it. But you know, being out, Jim, for me has been really everything seems back on the table for me, and I've really enjoyed being able to be more politically active, and I've learned a lot. Frankly, I've learned that there's so much that I can do, and I love politics. Yeah. I love news. I like fairness.
Jim, I think that's a Jim Dandy idea, if you don't mind my saying so.
Would you run my campaign?
Well, I don't know how far you would get with me running your campaign, but I would definitely be someone that would vote for you, although talk about a voice in the wilderness, a liberal in this part of the country. I feel awful lonesome sometimes. That's why I was, I'd like to see someone get in there that,
well, you know, Jim, I mean, that's part of, you got to see Shelley's film if you haven't, but I mean, that, you know, that's part of, you know, what's sad, and you hope things are changing quickly, but, you know, the reaction obviously in Nashville was not kind to your coming out. So forget about a liberal, but a gay person.
There were pockets of unkindness, but, you know, I've been focusing a lot on the people like Jim who are supportive. But, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Tennessee is a tough place, especially when you see some of the legislation that has been proposed and passed in Tennessee in the past couple of years. And, Jim, I don't have to lay that out for you. You've seen some pretty hateful policies toward people, you know, who are different, and it's tough to watch, and I lived in Tennessee for 20-plus years, so I've always kind of considered that home, and I've thought about it. So to answer your question, yes, I've thought about it.
Jim, thanks for calling, and I hope we get there. I mean, it's interesting he brings up Ashley Judd. That's what's scary, though, is what they did to her, and she didn't even decide to run.
They did.
The
Mitch McConnell was
and the nasty.
Yeah,
you know.
He was so afraid of her because she had a real... You know, not name recognition aside, she's a pretty smart gal.
Yeah.
And I think she could have done something. And boy, they took out a panic ad. You know,
well,
Mitch McConnell did.
You look at the state of our politics, and that's part of the problem. Is you think, can you get anyone good to run when it's become this nasty kind of circus? I mean, our friend Melissa Fitzgerald, who, you know, Governor Ed Rendell and other people in Pennsylvania have been trying to get her to run for a long time.
Right.
And she said she at one point just had a meeting with the DCCC down in Washington, and somebody posted a picture on a blog of her in a dress, like leaving, you know, whatever, a lunch or something there, and some kind of, you know, just smarmy, like, ooh, you know, sleazy comment, you know, up in the Philadelphia papers about, you know, jokey, just because she happens to be a beautiful woman that was an actress. And you go, so is there, that's the point, is you go, you look at how dysfunctional, just today, they're talking about shutting down the United States government over trying to get people health care.
Yeah.
How do you get anybody to?
It's a sport. You know, it's a sport, and it's particularly difficult for women like Melissa and Ashley Judd, and because the first card that the easy go to for someone who wants to denigrate them is, you know, oh, it's a woman, what could she know? And and then if they're a gay person, well, that's easy. That's, there are ways to secretly stir up that hatred. You know, why would anyone run for office? The people who are good enough and moral enough and sovereign enough and don't owe anybody anything, good enough to run, why would they run?
Well, that's part of the dichotomy. As much as I would, you know, all of us, I know, I speak for Chris and Jim, too, would love to see people like you and Melissa in office. Also, as our friends, you think, oh, God.
Oh, and I
it's
just,
like the last thing you want
my
for a friend.
My friend Christine Quinn just made a real, real strong bid for the nomination for mayor of New York City. She has served this city so well, so beautifully, so powerfully for years, and because she was the front runner for so long, there were millions of dollars dedicated to the anybody but Quinn smear campaign. And, you know, unfortunately, she did not get the nomination. when you've got that many people going after you just because they don't want you in there, I mean, it's
right.
it's ugly.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll just want to keep writing screenplays and songs.
Yeah, I was going to say, how does she feel when Anthony Weiner was... was ahead of her, and that was before the pictures. But she's like, "This guy's a jerk." Really?
Absolutely. I did a women's event for Chris, and I was there for 20 minutes before the event started, and I was hit by this throng of people with anybody but Quinn signs, and she mean pictures of her making scowling faces, and she's the devil. And I thought, God, it just hit me. What if I showed up at the ACM Awards and I was nominated for, you know, what if Faith Hill's people? Like, launched a campaign and get anybody but Shelley.
Right.
They don't do that in my industry. You know, right. What kind of a vile environment has politics become, or has it always been this way?
Mm-hmm.
Has
mm-hmm.
it? I mean, you would know.
No, I mean, as I've said it many times in relation to my dad, I can't imagine what my dad would think about this version of the Republican Party. And I know I thought I had pulled you out of the political closet, but... But because you were very vocal in your support for President Obama.
I was.
I mean, come on. There's such a divergence, whether it's gay rights or just, to me, any kind of rights at this point in these two parties today.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it was different. My dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater, spoke out for gay rights on the Senate floor in the 80s. Like,
did he?
Yes,
he did.
He was the one. Hillary Clinton stole his line about gays in the military. You don't have to be straight. You just have to shoot straight. But and now here we are with these guys today who are, you know, maybe going to, you know, and maybe going to blow up the debt ceiling of the United States.
Yeah. Well, they're going to do it just because they don't want a check mark in the W column for Obama. No wins. They don't want him to have any victory, anything attached to him. And we're rehashing all this. But it's, you know, the losers of the whole thing are the American people. We are in such... a state of...
You know who the real losers are? Our listeners, because we're out of time.
No!
Oh.
No, you can't... Not from my cool, dead hands. What?
Go to our website, or our Facebook page, and you can have a link to Shelley's event.
And you can see a naked picture.
Ooh.
Awesome.
On a Facebook page. Yeah. Wait, oh, that's the mayor of London.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Happy birthday to me.
Yes.
This Sunday, live from New York City.
Happy birthday!
Monday.